All right, we're in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3. We're going to try to go from verse 3 to verse 15 in our study today as we see what's happening. Ezekiel has seen a fantastic event of that of four living creatures with four wheels appear out of a cloud, and then above one of the living creatures, a colored screen went up and had a conversation between God and Ezekiel, kind of like what we have of Zoom. And Ezekiel could see and carry on the conversation with God there. And so we're in that part of what God was telling Ezekiel. Ezekiel was not to go to the Babylonians per se, or to the Gentiles. He was to go to the house of Israel. And the house of Israel was there because of their rebellion to God. Now, the Jewish nation under King David and King Solomon thought they were on the way to fulfill the promise of Abraham. And God told them, if you don't obey me, I'll take you out of the land. This beautiful, fruitful land will become desolate. Jerusalem will be destroyed. And so this happened. And they were taken to captivity. We saw that with Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. He was taken under the Nebuchadnezzar, and so was Ezekiel at that time, or similar right in that time. Jerusalem had been destroyed. And of course, with Daniel, he saw the, heard of the prophecy of Jeremiah that was at that time, that they would be in captivity for 70 years, and then they would be able to go back and rebuild the temple and Jerusalem, not establish a nation. Well, now Ezekiel is to talk to these that are in captivity, and to get them to repent, get back with the Lord. So that's where we are with this. And God is telling Ezekiel what he's to do and what's going to happen when he does. And he had showed him a book, a roll, and he told him to eat that. We talked about that last week. To eat is to consume it, not just to read it, not just to know about it, but to consume it, become part of you. And then in verse 3, he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And so as he ate this book, in other words, as he read it, as he consumed it, it wasn't just reading it. I mean, he really got into it as God wanted to, and with matter of God dealing with him. And so question one, when Ezekiel ate the roll, the book, it was in his mouth as honey for sweetness. It wasn't sweet as honey. And what's the difference between sweet as honey and honey for sweetness? Yeah, you add, the more you add to it, the sweeter it's going to be. Now, this was the key part here that most people miss in this, the honey for sweetness. So the book was to, the more you consume the book, the sweeter things would be. Or you'd have the sweetness that is there. The less you had, the bitterness that was there. Well, normally we talk about it, the fact of the book was to make something sweeter. You heard the statement, the world gives you a lemon, add water, and you'll have a lemonade. Well, lemonade is good, but there's something better. Lorenzo, in these past years, have tried to convince me and showed me something that I just didn't quite want to get involved with. He would go into the restaurant, and he would order a hot cup of water. Bring me a hot cup of water with lemon and honey. And then he would mix that in there. So he had honey, lemon, water. This has many health benefits. Now he told me that, but I didn't pay attention to it on that. In the matter of, he's not a redneck, so he likes the vegetables and all that. So we tease back and forth. Well, I began to do some research in that, and it does have health benefits. And at that point, lemonade doesn't have that. Now, lemonade has sugar added, and that's bad for you. Though honey has sugar, but it's different than the other, and serves in many functions of health benefits involved with that. All right, so now let's take a look at that. The world gives you a lemon. You need to add the water of life, and you have lemon water. Not lemonade, but lemon water. Now, as that water of life, John 4:14, this is not in your notes there, John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. Now, through salvation, we have victory over the world. But if you are not consuming the word of God, the book, it is really bitter. Now, just lemon and water is bitter. But you add the word of God, the book, the Bible, which is honey, to sweeten it. So when the world gives you a lemon, you need to be saved to have victory. Then you consume the Bible. The more you consume the Bible, then you sweeten that lemon water. And now you have honey lemon water with many spiritual benefits. Physically, you have physical benefits when you drink of the honey lemon water. But now when we add the water of life, salvation, and we consume the word of God, eat the book, which Ezekiel was to do, then you have honey lemon water with many spiritual benefits above it. Isn't that amazing? All in that phrase, honey for sweetness. So it wouldn't sweeten with that, but honey for sweetness. And the more you add, sweeter it is. So Ezekiel 3:4, and he said to me, son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. God is talking to him through Zoom there or through a video type of thing. And he says, now go. What are you standing around here for? Go, get thee into the house of Israel and speak with my words, not with your words. Well, I think God was saying this. No, you just repeat what I say. You speak with my words unto them. So question two, Ezekiel was to go to the house of Israel. Though he's in captivity in Babylon, well, the others were in captivity and he was to go to them and speak God's word to them. And then say, go and speak what Moses said. Go and speak what Jeremiah says or something else. He said, you speak my words. The Bible is not man's word. The Bible is God's word. Now, verse 5. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Now, Daniel didn't have a problem learning the language of the Chaldeans, of the Babylonians and all. Ezekiel probably did. And God was recognizing this with him, said, I'm not sending you to a people of strange speech or a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou cannot understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. Now, this happens today, right now. America is gospel hardened. Israel was hardened to the word of God. They are people of God. The gospel is around America. We talk until I'm blue in the face and nobody responds. We preach and preach God's word, give invitations in our churches, and no response. The first church that I pastored full time in Luling, Texas, or outside of Luling, Mineral Springs Baptist Church, one of the deacons came to me after being there a few months and said, the same people Sunday after Sunday here, we're out in the country, we don't have a lot of people traveling through anything else, and the only new people you have are our relatives that come in. But you preach as if you had a house full of lost people and all, and that, and you preach to the same ones, yet you preach as though it was the first time you talked to them. I said, what's the deal? I said, well, it's God's word. You need to be fed as much as others, but it's difficult. When I went to, and I've seen this throughout all the churches that I've pastored down through the years, went to Africa, I talked to one person standing on the street with an interpreter, and as I would pause and let the interpreter repeat what I said, as we got about four or five senses in there, we'd have five people out there. If I talked for 20 or 15 minutes, we'd have 30 or 40 people. And they were wanting to hear the gospel and wanting to be saved. He said, if I had sent thee to them, to those of a strange language and or strange speech and hard language, see, and things you can't understand, they would listen to you. So question three, Ezekiel was sent to a people of a strange and hard language that he could not understand. They would listen to him. And this is the thing we have as we send out mission groups. Our missionaries go out, and of course they deal with a different situation in that, but most of these groups that go out on mission trips to other countries, man, the people flock around. So they want to hear it. They're open up. They're in Uganda. Man, the schools, the rural schools, not the city schools, the rural schools that were in, they usually had them in churches and homes and all. They opened up. They wanted to come and talk to them. And man, we didn't have a problem at all, see. But come back here? No. You can't get in the schools to talk to about Christ. And that. He said, I'm not sending you to that group of people. He said, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Yeah, get that. Behold, I've made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. Bumping heads. I mean, they'd get in one another's face and almost head to head in arguing something and discussing it. And they weren't going to give in. They were stubborn. And he said, as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Now, I'm going to make you stronger than them, so don't flinch. Don't blink your eye. You just stand your ground, and you'll stand in my strength, is what he's saying on this. So question four, God would make Ezekiel stronger than Israel, so he was not to fear them. First right out of the box, after God called me to preach, pastor of my church in my hometown, the pastor thought it was a joke. My reputation didn't match what God had called me to do. And he wouldn't have much to do with me. Well, I wanted to know what a pastor did if I'm going to be a pastor. And he wouldn't give me the time of day with that hard on. And he was too busy, had all these other excuses. Well, I just followed him around. He didn't know I did. I had me a little old 36 Dodge. He'd take off and I'd be blocked behind him. And I kept a diary where he went, what time it was, and how much time he spent there. I wanted to learn that. Well, all of a sudden, I had a call business meeting in the church. And they had a woman get up and said that pastor had an affair with her. And this discussion got really bad there. The pastor denied it and said, no way. Well, here I am, a junior in high school. I stood up at that business meeting and I said, just what day was that you had the affair? And they told me to just be quiet. I said, no, I'm a member of this church. And so they told me the day and the time, and I pulled out my little notebook and I said, no, he wasn't there. He was at such and such a place. They said, how do you know? I said, well, I've been trying to figure out what a pastor does. And he doesn't do what you're saying that he does. Well, they like to crucify me. And so when I walked out of that business meeting, I said, Lord, this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. A little bit of a fear in there. The Lord told me, said, don't be afraid. You go in my word, and you don't have to back down to anybody. That's what he's telling Ezekiel. Preach my word. Tell them what my word is, not yours. Now, if I give you my word, then you can argue with me. But I give you God's word? No. That's what he's telling Ezekiel. Don't fear, I'm saying. So you got to consume the word. Not just a matter of learning a few things and having a figuring out a few little devotions or sermons or the thing. You've got to consume it. Let it be part of you. That's what he's telling Ezekiel. Verse 10. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thy heart and hear with thine ears. He said, not part of it, all my words. Not the Bible doesn't contain the word of God. The Bible is the word of God. And it's important that we realize this. It was important for Ezekiel. He had to have that foundation to do what God would have him to do to get through Israel. He couldn't get through to it, but his word, the word of God would. And so that's why he was to eat it. And he said in verse 11, go, get thee to them of the captivity and to the children of thy people and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Now he said, I want you to go. What are you standing around here for? Go and tell them, say, thus saith the Lord. And so question five, Ezekiel was to say, thus saith the Lord. And what do we do, whether they will hear or not? Say, what are we doing today? Well, Moses said this. Paul wrote this. Peter said this. Peter wrote that. Ezekiel wrote this. See, we're getting away from thus saith the Lord. This is the word of God, and we need to present it that way. Even the testimony. Now, when they talked about, well, he had me to go here, had me to do that, give a little testimony. Why was that in the Bible? God wanted to show you and show us what he's doing with the life and reveal that part. He didn't reveal everything about him, but just what God wants us to know and how he operates. Same thing here with Ezekiel. Why is all of this? See, it wouldn't matter if Ezekiel reporting what happened. This is what God wanted reported. And there's a difference between the two. You can have three people see the same event and they'll report it differently. And so it's a matter of the way God wants it done. And so Ezekiel was to do this. So then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. Oh, my. Now, we kind of got lost in the matter and tied up in what God was saying, but remember, what he was saying came from this one living creature that had this screen going up above his helmet, his firmament. So the wheels and the creatures are all around him, four wheels, four living creatures, and the Spirit took me up. So verse 13, and I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. So question six, the noise of the wings of the living creatures and the wheels was of a great rushing. Wasn't quiet. We saw that earlier as he described, and we see where God described the noise of the fire coming out and the mighty rushing waters and so on. And so he still hears this noise going on around him, the movement of the wheels and the creatures. And verse 14, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I went in bitterness and the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Now, question 7, the Spirit, the what? All right, the Spirit lifted Ezekiel, lifted him up, took him straight up, up. Didn't push him, lifted him up and took him away. Now, question 8, Ezekiel went in bitterness. He was going to do what God wanted him to do to these Israelites with bitterness and the heat of his spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon him. Now, when you first read that, you'd think that Ezekiel is bitter. I don't want to go. No. He was bitter and in the heat of his spirit toward the Israelites. He didn't like what they did. His own people. They didn't respect God. Didn't have anything. Now, Ezekiel was a priest. They weren't doing what they were supposed to do, and he knew that. They weren't making the sacrifices, weren't doing the offerings, nothing. This was going on before he was taken to captivity. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon him. In other words, he's wanting to go and really get up. I've been in that position where that I knew what the people were doing, didn't like it. I could not preach a sermon based on my hatred of it. Now, I knew what alcohol does and what the effect it had in my family, of my father and my mother and my brothers and sisters. I saw that, and I despised alcohol, any type of drinking. Now, people would argue with me, well, it's all right to come in and have a beer or so on. I said, no, it's not all right. I know the results of it, know what's going on. I had a personal vengeance against this. I wanted to destroy it. Man, if I could have my way, I'd blow up every beer joint around the place on that at night and just get rid of it. But I couldn't preach in that. I had to preach in the power of the Lord. If God wanted me to preach against it, I would. I couldn't preach because I just hated it. See? I despise abortion, but I can't just preach it because I don't like it. I have to see, and when God tells me to do that, see, that's what the deal is with Ezekiel and what it said here. But now, the Spirit, what's it talking about? The Spirit lifted him up. Well, let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 20. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. The wheels were lifted up over against them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Now remember in chapter 1, Ezekiel saw these four wheels and these four living creatures along with each wheel and realized that the spirit of the creatures was in the wheels. And you got that spirit, where the spirit is? The spirit is in the wheels. It's not a capital S. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about life inside the wheels, control that which is on the outside. Now, the Spirit was where? In the wheels. So back to our part on Ezekiel 3:14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord was on me. So the Spirit, as we looked at a while ago, lifted him up. We don't know if it was a ray or what was involved with it, but the Spirit lifted. It didn't take him into the wheel. didn't put him in the wheel. It just lifted him up. And so if you'll notice the illustration on here of the Spirit lifting him up. Now, Lorenzo, you missed that. There you go. You got that?
I see it.
Now that's about as close to the scriptures as you can get to it. A description that is there. And then what did he do? They took him away. We kind of laugh at what reports we hear today, don't we? We kind of push them off. Reports we have today of the UFOs and some of those things, it's not as far-fetched as you think it is. Ezekiel experienced that. And Ezekiel realized that they weren't there from just as somebody else to control. They were there because of God had them there. They wouldn't have been any different outside of an angel picking him up and carrying him off, except in that particular lab. But God wanted us to see and the rest of the world to know that the heavenly host is all throughout the universe and God is in control of them. And he's their God as well as our God. But we're the only ones created in his image to become children of God. Angels and the others cannot do that, see. So verse 15, then I came to them of the captivity in Telabib that dwelled by the river Shebam, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished. Why was he astonished among them 7 days? Man, if you'd had all that experience, you'd be still wheeling and what's happened? What's going on? See? Now the wheels are gone. See? He's there with these that he's to speak to that's not going to listen to him. And he's there set among them for 7 days. So question 9, Ezekiel was taken to the captivity, not to the Babylonians, but to the Israelites at Telabib with them and remained there astonished, or pardon me, set with them. I got that little place there. With them and remained there astonished among them for 7 days. Kind of getting exciting, isn't it? What's involved with Ezekiel and what God is doing in this. And yet, God is doing greater things today. We close our eyes to it. We're not seeing all that God is doing. Why? Because we haven't consumed, haven't ate the Word of God. We read it like a devotion or something, and we'll study it a little bit, but we haven't really consumed it, ate it. And so this is the lesson we learned from Ezekiel, a tremendous lesson that God has for us to see and to work in them. All right, we'll take